Good morning. Very good response. Now, I know we have former Baptists in the room, so at the appropriate time in the sermon, I want to hear a good amen, right? Baptists don't say amen. Episcopalians do that. At the appropriate time, you former Presbyterians, just sit up a little straighter. Methodists can break into song. Episcopalians might consider a clap, but not give it. And from the Catholics, a good Hail Mary will do. Because this is a feel-good sermon, and this is a feel-good day. You see, each day that I awake and get ready to come over to Holy Innocence, I increasingly realize it is a gift. Now, of course, I'm increasingly realizing that waking up is a gift, but the emphasis here is on Holy Innocence. We are a vibrant parish. We are celebrating life together, with all of its joys and all of its sorrows. Like any parish, we have seen hard times. There's no question about that. Hard times are a part of life. We know that. We don't want it to be that way, but they are a part of life. But hard times, they do not define us. And we do not seek them. For in seeking hard times, we become neurotic and we expect crises. But that cannot be our life. That is not the life of the gospel. But these hard times, when they come, they teach us something. They tell us what's important, and they help us realize that what we value sometimes needs to change. Our lives need to change so the world can change with God's Holy Spirit. And in my short time here with you, I have realized that there are really two defining traits of this great parish. Defining traits that I see every day when I arrive here. First is the love of learning. There's no question about that. Why am I surprised we have one of the largest Episcopal schools in the United States right here on our 43 point whatever acres that we inhabit? But this trait, the love of learning, it goes back much farther than 1959 when the school was established. Remember Mrs. Black, she was down there on second, and she, along with others, from the very beginning, they were teaching the widows and the orphans of the Civil War to read, to write. They were teaching them how to take care of themselves and the community in a time of distress and difficulty. The love of learning, it's in our DNA. And our ties to education are so deep. If you had been here just two evenings ago, baccalaureate Friday night, you would have seen a good 500-600 people gathered in this place saying, "We love learning. We love seeking wisdom." And in prayer and song, you would have been proud that this love of learning has endured, is a part of us. But likewise, I have learned that perseverance is a hallmark of our parish. Any church that has worshiped in three locations in just less than 140 years is a persevering bunch of people. You know, Winston Churchill once proclaimed that to everyone there comes a moment when we are tapped on the shoulder to do a special thing unique and fitted to our talent. And Churchill went on to say, what a tragedy it is if that moment comes, that tap on the shoulder comes, and we are unprepared or unqualified for the work which could be our finest hour. My brothers and sisters, this parish has faced many decisions before. We survived Reconstruction. We survived the first church literally falling down. with the members gathered inside. If you've seen the video for the Capitol campaign, you know the words of Mary Black McDougall. Let me remind you. She said that on a Sunday when they were gathered for worship, a cyclone hit the church and it fell down around the people. She went on to say, and I love this part, that they cut a hole in the roof and crawled out, going home with ne'er a benediction. Southern ladies just have a way. Being tapped on the shoulder in that day, our brothers and sisters, our family, they didn't say, let's give up, let's not learn, let's not persevere. No, they moved right on down to 16th. They built another church that Mrs. Black's family gave another piece of land for. And there, they worshiped until Dwight D. Eisenhower had the great thought of an interstate system. If he had known what would happen in downtown Atlanta, there's no way he would have created I-85. And yet, seeing I-85 come through, they did not say, we will abandon the property, we will let it fall down, we won't do anything. No. When the telephone rang one day and a group of people in Sandy Springs, better known as the country, when they called and said, we'd like to take on the name of Holy Innocence, we would like to continue the charge, we would like to learn from the past and persevere into the future, they said, you better believe it. Mary Black McDougall packed up her car and a box, and in it she put the offering plate that we will use to bless pledges today, along with a couple of vases and other things, including a priest's diary that dates beginning in the 1820s and makes its way to 2nd Avenue and 16th and tells us the babies that were baptized and the people that were buried. And by the stroke of his hand said, this is what we are learning about God's grace. This is how we are persevering in this place God so loves. And so coming here to this hallowed piece of land, against all odds, God tapped another group on the shoulder and they worshiped in a school. Love of learning, perseverance, then built the parish hall as their first place to worship, and then built this nave, and then built a school, and then started drama groups, and parish weekends, and foyers, and the list goes on. Yes, there have been hard times in the family, but every single time the great shepherd of the sheep has called us by name, the children named Holy Innocence have responded. And with faithfulness and servanthood have said, we will answer the tap, we will answer the call, we will use our gifts and talents, and we will proclaim God's love, grace, and mercy, and the kingdom will be built here. My brothers and sisters, God has been tapping us on the shoulder, also known as the steering committee. And with their work and others, over 100 people have been tapping you on the shoulders so that our life, our generations will know the love of God. And the Build the Body of Christ campaign has been marching forth. Dear family, we are not seeking to erect a religious museum. The world is full of those. We are seeking to erect the body of Christ, to build the body of Christ for ministry, to empower you to take your place in this family. We could beat ourselves up, ask why are our buildings in this shape? Why do we have to do this? We could go on and on, seek somebody to blame, get upset, get emotional, you name it. Or we could feel the tap, Stop looking in the rearview mirror and say, because of the great cloud of witnesses, those people that have told us of God's amazing grace and love, we will join them. We will learn from the past. We will persevere into the future. Footnote for those of you who have asked, yes, we will budget differently. We will include buildings, grounds, capital improvements, maintenance in our budget. We've got to. You have a bank as your advocate to make sure. But we cannot dwell in the past. We cannot dwell in the rearview mirror, for to do so would not answer the tap. It would squander the gifts and talents for God's future. But hear the good news. First of two announcements. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, and Catholics, and anybody else, get ready to respond appropriately. Because you have responded so faithfully, I can tell you that as of Friday afternoon at 5:05, we have received over $6,159,000 in pledges and gifts to the Build the Body of Christ campaign. Amen, amen, hallelujah, Hail Mary. Yes, full of grace. I don't preach many like this, but when I do, it all comes out at one time. But hear this, family. It needs to be the whole family. It's not the amount. It's the participation. We need every single brother and sister, every single son and daughter, every single mother and father, grandmother, grandfather of this family to respond. And I mean that to the children as well. A $5 pledge over 5 years from a five-year-old is something to celebrate. And we've received those. We have a family. We have people that want this place to be as much as it has been and all as it can be. But we need every one of you to participate. If you've lost your pledge card, there's one in the pew. And if you're embarrassed to take it, one will arrive in the mail Tuesday. And hear this. Everyone's going to get a new one. Because a faithful, anonymous group of parishioners has assembled a challenge gift to you. And my number, your number, God's number thus far of 6.159 does not include the challenge gift. And so for every new pledge or every increased pledge, your dollars will be matched. Every $3 will be matched with another up to $350,000. Meaning, where we are today, almost at 6.2, you take the challenge of 350, y'all triple that, add it, and guess what? We're at 7.6. Our goal was 8. I'm speechless. And since only 179 pledges have come in to total the 6.159, this is not just doable. It will be done. And so with God's help, the whole family, starting down there on 2nd Avenue and 16th, here at the corner of Powers Ferry and Mount Vernon, this whole family can respond faithfully. We can't give the same amounts, but we can give the same sacrifice. Your $20 might equal another person's $200,000. We, as the body of Christ, can do this. We can build the body. We can engage in ministry. And from this place, the dream of those women who gathered the group of men and locked them in the room down on 2nd Avenue and said, "We will build a church." Well, they'll have not only a say in the past, but their inheritance will be fully felt in this place for the next generation. My brothers and sisters, every day when I wake up, I feel as though I hear the Good Shepherd call my name. And he says to me, "Get on down the street to that place called Holy Innocence and take your place with the children there. It is to that place that you were called. It is to that community, to that family. Indeed, it is to this place that every last one of us is called." And that, my brothers and sisters, is worth an amen, amen, alleluia, hallelujah, Hail Mary full of grace. So whatever your word, know this: the tap has come. It is our moment. And God will build our body so that the world will know Christ and his amazing grace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You sound as though you rehearsed.